This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and this can be found on page 944 of your pew Bible. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following and went into the tomb. He saw linen cloth lying and the napkin, which had been laid on his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have yet to ascend to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said those things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. Today is Easter. Today is the day when everything changed. Today is the day that the whole world was turned upside down. Today is the day when the power of death loses its grip over creation. Today is the first day of the week. It's the first day of the new creation. That's what the Gospel of John tells us in our reading this morning. One of the things I like about John's Easter story is that he is retelling the story of creation. Those of you who were here on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday have already heard part of the retelling of that creation narrative, according to John. Jesus was arrested on Thursday, the fifth day of the week. But it was on Friday, the sixth day, that he was put on trial. And in chapter 19, verse 5 of John's Gospel, Pilate brings Jesus before the crowd and says, "Behold the man." The resonance that the text wants us to hear is that on the sixth day of creation in the book of Genesis, God created human beings, male and female. He created them. Jesus is then stripped, he is beaten, he is nailed on the cross. And part of his last words are, "It is finished." And again, the resonance that the text wants us to hear is that at the end of the sixth day in the book of Genesis, God had finished with creation. Jesus' disciples are concerned that his body will be left on the cross as the Sabbath approaches, and so they ask for permission to take it down. Permission is granted, and Jesus' lifeless body is placed in the tomb, but it's the Sabbath and there is no activity because God is resting. But now John tells us that early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, under the cover of darkness, goes to the tomb. Mary is one of Jesus' closest disciples. We are told elsewhere in the Gospels that Jesus had delivered Mary from 7 demons. And we can only imagine the darkness that must have gripped Mary's life. But somewhere along the way, she met the Lord, and it turned her life upside down. She went from darkness to light, from despair to hope. She moved from bondage to freedom, from death to life. It changed her world, turned it upside down. And she became one of the Lord's closest disciples, devoting her life to him and following him wherever he went, including into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. She came into Jerusalem with Jesus as the crowd was welcoming him. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David. But by week's end, everything had all gone terribly wrong. And Mary saw that too. She saw the betrayal. She saw the arrest, the trial, the lynching on the cross. It all came quickly to an end. And she'd even heard Jesus himself say, "It is finished." But that was on Good Friday, the 6th day of the week. But now it's the first day of the week, and Mary's life is once again engulfed in darkness as she makes her way to the tomb. The darkness of violence, the darkness of injustice, the darkness of greed, the darkness of cruelty, the darkness of cynicism, the darkness of lies, they're all there swirling around on Good Friday. And they've all rested over the whole region. As Mary makes her way to the tomb, the forces and powers of death boldly asserting that once again, death has the last word. But as Mary makes her way to the tomb, she notices that the stone has been removed. And she discovers to her horror that the Lord is not there. She stoops in to look in the tomb. The body is not there. Where have they done? Where is the Lord? What have they done with the Lord? Where have they taken him? She runs back to go get the men. The men ought to have the answers. That's what we men like to think sometimes, that we have all the answers. And so she goes back and gets the men, and the men come running. They go inside the tomb, and the tomb is still empty, and they are as perplexed as anyone else. Where is the Lord? Where have they taken the Lord? What have they done with the Lord? And it's after the men leave that Mary looks back inside the tomb, and this time she sees two angels where the Lord's body had lain. And you would think at this time maybe Mary would begin to remember. Maybe she would begin to remember what Jesus had said before the crucifixion about dying and rising again. Maybe she would remember all the signs and wonders that Jesus had performed. Maybe she would remember how he fed the 5,000 and then the 4,000. Maybe she would remember how he had opened blind eyes. Maybe she should remember how he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Maybe she ought to be thinking at this juncture that perhaps, just maybe, God had raised Jesus from the dead. But she doesn't think of any of those things. And we all know the reason why. The power of death. Her heart and her mind has been conditioned by the power of death. And so Mary cannot begin to see or to make that leap of faith or that leap of imagination. Occasionally, I'm told by people, "You don't believe that resurrection nonsense, do you?" Sure, it was okay for people 2,000 years ago, they might have believed it, but not today. We modern people are modern and sophisticated and educated. We know that dead people don't get back up and walk. Well, the point is, they understood that 2,000 years ago as well. Mary knew that when you are dead, you're dead. She knew that dead people don't get back up and walk. People have always knew that, known that. They've always understood that, that when you are dead, you are dead. And so when Mary looks inside the tomb and she doesn't see the Lord, even though she sees the angels, that's what she begins to think. Not Jesus has been risen from the dead, but where is the body? Where have they taken him? Tell me where you've taken the Lord and I'll go get him. But it's in the midst of her tears as she goes out into the garden that the resurrected Lord comes to her. But so powerful is the power of death that Mary still cannot recognize Jesus, even though he is right in front of her. She cannot recognize Jesus. In fact, she thinks he is the gardener. And in effect, that is indeed who he is. He is the gardener. He is the new gardener. He is the new Adam standing in the new Garden of Eden. He is the new human being. He is the one who has been brought back from the dead. It's the first day of the week, the first day of the new creation. That's what the text wants us to see. Every resurrection day, every Easter, we are reminded of what time it is. Easter is not the marker for the beginning of spring. Even though I love springtime and always look forward to this time of year, it is not about the arrival of the vernal equinox or whatever they call it. It's not a prelude to the beginning of summer as we anticipate our summer vacations. But Easter is about God's time breaking into our time and transforming our time. Easter is God's announcement that the forces and powers of death and all that pretend death have already been defeated. Easter is the first day of the new creation, because that's the day that God raised Jesus from the dead. And what God has done for Jesus, God promises to do for all of us and indeed for the whole world. It's about new creation. I hope we all heard that this morning and understand that. New creation. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is about new creation. And that's important to stress because we often express our Christian faith as escaping from our bodies when we die. Are escaping from this physical world when we die in order to go to heaven. And it's true that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. But Easter is about this world. Easter is good news for this world. It is evidence that God loves the world, that God created this world, that God loves this world, that God made this world good, and that God has already begun to reclaim this world. Easter is not so much about what happens to us after we die, but Easter is about the swallowing up of death. It's about the overcoming of death and the reversal of death. It is God's way of announcing to all the forces and powers of death that death does not have the last word. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ liberates all of us so that we are free to be the people that God has always wanted us to be. And that's why it's the first day of the week. It is the first day of the new creation. Now, I know that there are lots of people out there who scoff at that. I know there's lots of people out there who refuse to believe that. I get it all the time, especially when I tell people I'm a pastor. They look at me sometimes as if they feel sorry for me. You don't really believe that stuff, do you? But that's okay, because Easter is not supposed to be easy to believe. Easter totally defies all of our human categories and all of our modes of understanding. Easter is the surprise that you discover when you're walking in the dark. It is the unexpected thing that you stumble across when you are on your way to the tomb. It is the calling of your name when you've broken down in tears. It's the first day of the week when you believe that Good Friday has the last word. To be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be Easter people. It's to be new creation people. And that's what the Apostle Paul calls us. He says, in Christ you are a new creation. You've already been made brand new. All of us are a new creation. That's what happened at our baptisms. At our baptisms, we died with Christ and we have been risen anew to new life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all are a part of a new creation. And what that means is that we are people who no longer walk in darkness. We are people who are no longer conditioned by death. We are no longer people who are afraid of what the world tells us that we need to be afraid of. One of the things that I was encouraged by this week was to hear the Christians in Egypt who on this day are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ, even though a terrorist attack killed 44 Christians in Egypt on Palm Sunday. But they know that death is not the last word. The last word belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so on this day, Christians in Egypt are out saying, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We will not let the forces and powers of death defeat us. We will not let them overcome our witness. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and we bear witness to that by our very lives. That's what it means for us to be Easter people, too. It is to proclaim in the face of the world that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and because of that, we will not be content. We will not be content with the way that the world is run. We will not be content with allowing the forces and powers of death to have the last word. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And that means a couple of things for us to be Easter people, to be new creation people, to be first day of the week people. First of all, it means holiness. It means we are to be a people who live in holiness. That word sounds a bit strange in our society today because we have all kinds of ways in which we think we are called to be human. We have our celeb culture. It tells us that what it means to be human is to be a celebrity. We have the drug culture. It tells us what it means to be a human being is to take drugs and to be high all the time. We have athletics that tells us what it means to be a human being is to be a powerful athlete, or what it means to be a human being is to have lots and lots of money. But on Easter, we learn that what it means to be a human being is to be a person made in the image of the one who stands in the garden, the one who asks us, why are we weeping? Why on this day are you weeping? Have you not heard the good news? Have you not learned the good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? And therefore, to be an Easter people means that whatever tears that we might have that causes us to despair and to lose hope, that we are reminded that hope is indeed in the fact that we are called to be a new creation people by a God who has already undertaken that creation, that new life in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to be a people of holiness. But to be new creation people, to be Easter people, is also to be a people who worship. And that's why we are here this morning. That's why we come to this place every first Sunday, every Sunday, every first day of the week, because this is the resurrection day. This is the day that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is the Lord's day. This is the day that we bear witness to the fact that God's time has broken into our time. This is the day that we are reminded that the forces and powers of death no longer have the last word. And so it's on this day that we gather together to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But we're not simply content to be in this place to bear witness to that. But like Mary, we are called to go out into the world and also proclaim the good news. We're called to go out into this world of pain, this world of suffering, this world of darkness, this world where children go to bed hungry at night, this world of war and conflict and strife, this world where bombs are planted on Palm Sunday. We are called to go out into the midst of this world and proclaim, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I have seen him. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and I have seen the Lord. That's what Mary goes out and proclaims. And that is what we too are called to go out and proclaim. I have seen the Lord. The only proof that we have that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, the only proof that we have today, is our life together as God's people. The only proof that we have that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead is our own renewed life as followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The world won't listen to much about what we say. They won't listen to our proclamations. They won't care how many times we come to this place and sing our hymns and pray our prayers. The only proof that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead is the quality of life that we live. It's when we ourselves love one another. It's when we ourselves overcome the barriers that divide the rest of the world. It's when we ourselves overcome the hatred that seems to engulf the rest of the world. It's when we ourselves are walking in the light in the world that is engulfed in darkness. It's by the quality and the holiness of our lives that people will come to see and believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Because he has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Do you believe that this morning? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Do you really believe that? And if you believe that, live it out. If you believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, do not let the forces and powers of death have the last word. You are called to go out and bear witness to that in the face of a world that wants us to believe that death has the last word. In the face of the world that wants us to believe that the power of life has been closed down. In the face of the world that wants us to believe that it's okay for people to be poor in our world. In the face of the world that wants us to believe that war is the natural state of things. In the face of the world that wants us to believe that being divided by race and by class is okay. We are called to go out in the midst of that kind of world and proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And to proclaim it, not by what we say, but to proclaim it by the way that we present ourselves here on this Sunday morning. People who have overcome the forces and powers of division and death, to proclaim with our very lives that we have seen the Lord. And it's through our very lives that the world will see him too. It's the first day of the week, the first day of the new creation. Go out and act like you believe it. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us forth from our stumbling in darkness. You have called us forth from the fear that so engulfs the rest of the world. You've called us forth from the cynicism and the hatred and the division that has captured the hearts and imaginations of the rest of the world. You've set us free, free to be your people, free to live into the new reality that is already made manifest in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us truly to believe deep down inside of our hearts the stunning good news that Jesus Christ indeed has risen from the dead. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.